Hi, I'm Scott Watson, and welcome to What Music Means to Me. No one likes busy work, and nothing seems more like busy work than copying. When I was in grade school, corporal punishment, or spanking, was still administered occasionally by a building principal. But more often, a wayward student was sentenced to copy a corrective phrase over and over again, sometimes into the hundreds of times. More recently, teachers have been encouraged to avoid busy work and find more constructive ways to train their students. But is it possible that a mundane chore like copying could hold unseen benefits for the music student? Let me share a few reasons I believe the answer is an emphatic yes. First of all, copying is active learning. It is applied rather than theoretical. Many great composers, like Johann Sebastian Bach, for instance, understood this very well. It is known that Bach copied by hand many of the concerti of his contemporary, Antonio Vivaldi. In this way, Bach learned and absorbed into his own sound elements of the Italian concerto style. For many composers through the ages, copying has been a form of score study. I remember when I was about to graduate from Westchester University with my undergraduate music education degree. A favorite professor, Dr. Sterling Murray, inquired what I would be doing. At the time, I was about to apply for admission into a graduate composition program, but Dr. Murray challenged me to do something very unconventional. He said, "Why don't you just take a few years off to do score study, like so many of the great composers for whom there wasn't any formal degree programs? Maybe take some lessons, too." That isn't what I did, but years later, I now see that it wasn't all that kooky of an idea. Dr. Murray knew that many a composer learned their craft by modeling and copying the music of others. I've been enjoying a series of books by author Thomas Cahill. He calls the series The Hinges of History. Each book focuses on some people group or happening on which the world's history pivots. In the first book in the series, called How the Irish Saved Civilization, Cahill tells how many works of ancient Western classical literature were saved from oblivion by copyists in Irish monasteries. These monks were the spiritual descendants of the real-life Saint Patrick, who, after a miraculous conversion to Christianity in the early 5th century, which involved kidnapping and visions from God, left the comforts of the Roman Empire to serve and preach among the heathen in Ireland. While many works by Virgil and Cicero and Plato and more were burned in Roman libraries during the barbarian invasion around 410 AD. Fortunately for us, there were these beautifully rendered Irish manuscript copies preserved in monasteries in the British Isles, all thanks to St. Patrick. I had always imagined these monks as drones, copying like mindless slaves. But Cahill paints a different picture. Listen to his description. "For the most part, they enjoy their work and find themselves engrossed in the stories they are copying. Beneath a description of the death of Hector on the plain of Troy, one scribe, completely absorbed in the words he is copying, has written most sincerely, 'I am greatly grieved at the above-mentioned death.' Another, measuring the endurance of his beloved art against his own brief lifespan, concludes, 'Sad it is, little party-colored white book, for a day will surely come when someone will say over your page, the hand that wrote this is no more.'" So you can see, these copyists not only understood what they were copying, they were moved by it. Another copying story I'd like to share is of a visiting Russian composer who came to work with the graduate composition seminar when I was a student at Temple University in the 1990s. Unfortunately, I can't remember this fellow's name, but he was fairly advanced in years. Most memorable was the fact that he had been a student of Dmitri Shostakovich. One of the most fascinating things he shared was that Shostakovich would not see a composition student for a lesson until the piece they were working on was completed, final copy in ink. Maybe the Russian master didn't want to waste his time until the students had worked through the decisions that lead up to a final version. Or maybe Shostakovich felt that students would more carefully consider which notes to write if they knew they'd be committing them to ink. I've seen the music of many students myself. Some copied very cleanly, and others quite sloppily. I've also noticed that performers do a better job of playing music that is copied cleanly. Conductors are more open to performing new music if it looks good, and editors will take a closer look at music that is typeset well. Maybe Shostakovich was trying to show his students that professional-looking music will be taken more seriously by others. Copying can also be an aesthetic experience. I find the look of professionally engraved or typeset music to be simply beautiful. It's an art like calligraphy. Stems are thin, beams are thick. Certain spots along curved lines and slurs and clefts and flat signs receive more weight, and sharp signs have two parallel thin vertical strokes and two parallel angular thicker strokes. The P for piano, or the F for forte, aren't just typeset letters. They're beautiful symbols. When you take the time to carefully copy music like this, you learn so much about music. For this reason, the first homework assignment I give to students in my advanced placement music theory class each fall is a copying assignment. In class, we look at various methods of music notation, such as pencil on paper, nib pen and ink on vellum, computer music notation, and engraved music. Their task is to copy the first 23 measures of the solo trumpet part from Alexandra Artunian's Trumpet Concerto with pencil on manuscript paper and have it look as close as possible to the engraved Schirmer edition. I also ask them to make a list of at least 10 things they learned about correct music notation as they complete the assignment. In this way, all of my theory students understand things such as stem direction, the correct length of stems, drawing proper beams, and so much more. So you see, the exercise of copying isn't always just busy work. Every once in a while, I'll take a walk along some street that I normally drive on. At the slow pace of the walk, I notice a whole world of detail that I hadn't seen before. I think copying work can be like this. Sometimes the only difference between an activity that is aesthetically satisfying and one that is simply mundane is how observant you've been. What I've learned about music through copying means a lot to me. I know you have a lot to do, so thank you for taking the time to learn what music means to me. I hope music is and stays a part of your life. Until next time, stay in tune.